Well, hello, everybody, and good afternoon. Welcome to the Words at Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming live on BBS Radio from California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally, including iTunes, iHeart, and Podopolo. I'm your show host, Yvonne L. Silver, if we haven't met already. And my role, my mission, is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by helping my clients to flourish in business. And I also am showcasing on this show amazing women who have risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, confidence to chaos. Chaos to confidence, the beauty of live shows, and I'm now doing amazing things in the world. And this year, I'm particularly interested in focusing on women who are doing something really intriguing for their community or making global change. So today, I'm delighted to have my guest here, Diane Hoffman. Welcome.
Thank you, Yvonne. So great to be here, and I just love the work you're doing in the world.
Thank you. And I love the work you're doing. And we'll get into that in just a moment. So as a female founder and entrepreneur myself, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people over the years to find their interests, to find interesting and challenging careers. And in the past 10 years in particular, to support women who are women entrepreneurs that are looking to excel in their leadership or take their entrepreneur journey to new heights. So today I work with those women, entrepreneurs and founders and leaders, ready to flourish in business, to expand and engage their team, to ask for what they really want, which is often more sales, and get it so that they can have their ideal clients working with them for a sustainable business that is fun. And if it's fun, then we get to do amazing things and we get to become great role models for our children as well. So Diane is one of those amazing women that I connected with recently. So we're going to talk today about her story. This is an interesting one, from undercover prostitute to empowerment speaker and trainer for leaders. Diane Hoffman, this is going to be interesting and juicy. So by way of an introduction, Diane, it was never her journey, or never her plan rather, to walk the streets and become a prostitute. And yet alone, she got involved with vicious gangs and narcotics. And that put her life choices into grave circumstances. I tell you, my hat goes off to you already. Danger became a way of life for Diane, and it forced her to carry a gun in her hand every day for 10 years. She was an undercover cop for the San Diego Police Department, and her job was to infiltrate the gangs and prostitutes, bust the Johns, bring them down, and clean up the streets. And I thought I had a fearful upbringing. Whoa. So she understands fear and survival instincts. She's lived them and knows what it takes to find your grit, perseverance, and power to push through any challenge. And after being medically retired from the police department as a result of a training accident, Diane took years of experience along with her master's in human resource management and certification as an ultimate game of life coach to pioneer the creation of our own company called Spa Life. SPA is an acronym for Seek Power Always. Her podcast, Live Your SPA Life, is a call to action for all women to define and create the life they truly want. Well, this is your audience. So as the Reset Specialist, you now travel the country speaking, consulting, conducting workshops and seminars, dedicating to helping overwhelmed women, entrepreneurs and corporate leaders move from that life of emergency to emergence. I love that. You know me, I love the power of words and bringing forward a unique set of skills and life experiences that allow you to go coach and guide and demonstrate the very techniques that you used to reset your own life and that those of countless others. And you also have a passion to teach women how to be their own cop, walking in the world with more confidence, optimism and power. Woo, exciting. So you have such an interesting story to share, rising from you know, chaos to confidence. I'm curious what even started all of this. What was your interest in becoming a police officer in the beginning? Where did that start?
You know, Yvonne, it's interesting the path that we take. And first of all, thank you so much for having me here and to be able to share this story, because so many times people grow up and they think that we should know what we want to do. I never grew up thinking I wanted to be a police officer. That was not in my repertoire. I didn't grow up as a little girl thinking that that's what I wanted to do. When it was time for me to go to college, my father, who wanted me to have a successful career, said, "Are you going to be a doctor or an attorney?" As if those were my only two choices in life to go with. And I thought, well, I'm not really interested in medical, but I'm a little interested in law, so I can go on the attorney path. So I majored in criminal justice. That's what my degree is in. And my senior year, I started working with an attorney and decided that this was boring. Like, this was not something I wanted to spend the rest of my life doing. It was, you know, lots of research, and it was indoors, and I just felt like it wasn't my calling. But then what was I supposed to do? And I had people that I graduated in college with, a lot of the guys who had just said, "Hey, we're going into law enforcement. Why don't you come on a ride along and just take the test and see what happens?" So I took the test, and I excelled very much in it. At the time, there weren't very many women on the department. In fact, I was the only woman on my squad at the time. And they were actually looking for women to be undercover in roles of prostitute, because we were looking to hunt a serial killer who ultimately had killed 70 women. Oh. And so there was a whole different world from me going from middle America, you know, childhood growing up, private Catholic school, to being on the street and seeing all of the dangers and wildness of that. So it was a big, big jump in culture and life and journey.
Wow, it certainly was. So can you recall when they first talked to you about going undercover, what your initial reaction to that idea was?
Well, you know, at the time, you know, it's funny you say that, because it was, I had no idea what to expect, right? I mean, all I really had, I didn't even know any police officers growing up. I had never even held a gun before I joined the police department. Everything I was learning was new. And luckily I had a senior female officer from another squad who kind of showed me the ropes. And, you know, I really just looked at it as part of my job to be able to capture someone who was harming so many people in society. And, you know, my thoughts were, there's a lot I need to learn. And even though I was, you know, I was in patrol, I mean, that was the first learning, was being in patrol, being in a police car and answering 911 calls. And, you know, there were a lot of things that, you know, I had learned along the way. But being undercover, when you are not wearing very much and you don't have your bulletproof vest on, you're not carrying a gun, you don't have a radio, you literally feel naked in a lot of different ways. And so it builds a lot of resilience to have to, you know, rely on your wits and your intuition and what to notice. And it really expanded my view of not only the world, but how I could have to learn in fearful situations to stand in my power. And it's one of the things that I think is so important. People ask me about the stories, because there's so many undercover stories, but how I use those for women to stand in their own power, that so many times you can feel powerless, but there's so many things where you can take your circumstances and change them around and use that as a launch pad to actually be more resilient, to have grit, and to do your work in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was going to be one of my questions, actually, was, you know, what were your biggest learnings as an undercover cop, especially a woman, regarding resilience? And I know from, you know, watching some of the, I mean, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but watching some of the shows, like, you know, there was one where you basically get naked and they take your photograph, and you're not totally naked, but you're naked enough that it really did cause the women to step into a whole new level of confidence. Now, in your case, again, you weren't naked, but any other learnings in particular about resilience that came from that part of your life?
Right. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, I grew up, you know, going to Catholic school for 12 years, wearing a uniform, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of provocativeness in my life around that. In fact, when I started the department, I was married and I had two small children. So, coming into that world was definitely awakening, and I had to step into a role. And I think part of the residual that came out of that is that I became more confident in my sensuality, because I had to walk with more confidence. I had to be flirty and fun, but yet also be mindful of my surroundings. So it was what I looked at as a time where I could learn to be more fierce in my internal power of what I could do and my training and resort to that, but also be feminine and show up in a way that was approachable. And so I found that having both of those skills together can be really, really helpful. And especially, I think, in changing the perception of police officers, right? I mean, there's so many things happening in the world right now. In any profession, there's going to be a small percentage that are going to be we call them the rogue. They're just off the charts. You don't even know how they're making some of their decisions. But I know most people in police work and in their own professions, that they're there to help people, that they, not many people are willing to be shot at and be in dire circumstances on a daily basis if they aren't looking to help people and make a shift and change in the world. And I really believe that whatever, things that we are doing, it's up to us to be that change in the world and to actually look at what that does for us. And I think one of the main things that undercover work did for me that I much later found out about is, I believe that we live three different lives. There's three different aspects of ourselves. There is our public life, the one that everyone sees. Here we are on podcasts, sharing our life and our experiences. Then there's our private life. Those are some of the inner workings of who we are. Our close friend and family know some of these things about ourselves. But then we also have an undercover life. I mean, I had an undercover life in the police department, in prostitution, and in other undercover assignments. But I also noticed that I was being undercover long after I retired from the department of aspects of myself that I didn't want to share, that I didn't want to put out there, those things that we maybe feel shameful about, or we don't feel confident about, or we hope that people don't find out those things about us. And one of those things for me was when I was in the department, I had been divorced and had been, a single mom for many years. And I gotten into another longer term relationship, but it was a relationship that wasn't healthy. And it really spun me out, if you will, in terms of not trusting myself and not having confidence, which a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around, because here I was a police officer showing up strong and helping other people, but yet I wasn't that confident in my own relationship. And day by day, it whittled away at my self-esteem. And it took a lot for me to build that back up. And I share that because so many times we see the successful brightness about people, and we don't see the things that are happening behind the scenes, the undercover part of ourselves that we don't always share. And I think it's important to put those things to light, because that's also part of our journey. And to be able to share those things, people can gather some strength from that, and they can know that they can move through anything, and they can have the resilience and the grit and the courage. All it is a decision, and they just step into that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be showcasing in my online business book club a book called, I have to refresh myself here, The Power of Becoming Real, Journey to Authenticity with David Irvine. As you can tell, I've read it quite quite a detailed level, so I'm happy to showcase that. Really interesting journey, though, and it's so true how when we think about the energetic resonance that we give off, if you go to a networking meeting and you shake hands with someone and you get this kind of fishy handshake back, you can just tell there's creepy vibes. There's something there that is not aligning. And I'm still evolving and working on my own, because I teach this with my clients as well. And so you have to be doing that every week, a little piece of evolution. And my word for the year this year is alignment. So I'm deep diving in that this year. So it's a 20-year journey. Yes. So I'm curious, what was the biggest turning point in your life, that moment where you started to really become a week. Was it after leaving that undercover role, or was it while you were still in that role, or when you ended up retiring for, it was a training accident, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it probably started with that accident. I think there's kind of a before, middle, and emergent kind of aspect to that. And, you know, not only did I work undercover, but I worked patrol. And so, you know, I was driving around in the police car, I was answering calls. That was more of the norm of my work. But I did have this one undercover assignment that was really fun, because I get to ride mountain bikes around neighborhoods, and we would sneak up on what we called 10851s, which were stolen vehicles. And the reason why we used mountain bikes is because we could silently sneak up, because criminals know the sound of an engine of a police car. So anytime you would drive a police car down a street, if we got a call, they would scatter and we wouldn't be able to get them. But by using the mountain bikes, we could literally roll up right behind them in the act of a crime and be able to solve a lot of rings of stolen vehicles. So that was an assignment that I was working at a time. And on one day I was going downhill pretty fast and I hit a pothole on the bike and I flipped over the top of the bike and I put my hand out, hit it on the ground, and I rolled till I was flat on my back. And I looked over to my hand and my fingers were bent back towards my elbow.
Ah.
Yeah. And I passed out soon after that. And I was rushed to the emergency room. They had to literally snap my hand back. And I ended up having to go into a 7-hour surgery. And I woke up and I had this big contraption on my arm and I had 6 rods through it. And you can still see some of the scars from it, where they had to realign because all the bones in my hand were broken. And so I had to wear this fixator on my hand for 6 months, and I had to relearn how to do everything using my left hand. And I didn't realize how much I didn't know how to use my left hand, from getting dressed to brushing my hair to even using toilet paper was this huge challenge of you doing something different. But it was in that time when I was in the recovery of that, because I lived a very adrenaline filled life, a lot of anxiety, a lot of running around with, the type of work that I was doing. Actually, for one of the first times in a long time, to actually take some time off for, some self-care and just looking at my life and what I was doing, it gave me a moment to realize how important it was to take care of myself, that I wasn't doing a very good job of at the time. So that's when I really had kind of an awakening of, I need to take care of me, this mind, body, spirit, if I'm going to be able to last, not only in this job, but to raise my daughters, to be an example, to do the things that I can do to really support people. So mm-hmm. My last case was a kidnapping murder case of a 7-year-old girl who lived a mile from our home. And I actually knew her. I knew her mother. We played on a softball team together. And I didn't really work many child cases. And I was the liaison between the family and the police department. And it was our team that actually found her. It took us 3 weeks, but she had been killed. And it was during that time that I really had just this awakening of, life is so short. My daughters were still young. I had, shattered my gun hand. I was transitioning out of the department. It really had me look what are all the different aspects of ourself? And it was during this time that it came to me, when someone had asked me, one of my mentors said, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? Out of nowhere, I had just said, I want to live the spa life. And I had never said that word before. I didn't know where that came from before. And I basically said, it's not about just getting a massage. It was really about how you were taking care of your life, how you were empowering yourself, where you were really taking care of yourself in all different levels. Because if you did take care of your body and you slept and you did all those self-care things, the clarity that you would have, the person that you would be, the kind of conversations that you would have much deeper impact in the world. So moving through that experience really allowed me to wake up and look around to see how much we can do when we take care of ourselves and how much more impact we can have when we do that.
Absolutely. And I talked with another coach, Christina Marlette, a couple of years ago when I was writing my book, best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And she always talks about it's not about, you know, bonbons and spas. It's, you know, self-care goes a lot deeper than that. And it's about being able to stand up for ourselves and ask for what we really want and get it. So I actually had interviewed her as part of the research for my book. And there was about 12 women that I incorporated some of their comments in the book as well, because there was such valuable wisdom nuggets to share. It was my experience plus theirs, plus all the 40 words and word concepts to help women elevate their confidence. And that all came together in a very succinct way. And I certainly can associate with what you're saying about, you know, I'd never expressed that before, which reminded me when I was getting to be a little bit unsettled in my life, and it was in my early 30s. And I remember sitting one day and doing some journaling, and I was very, very depressed, very sad about what was happening with my current relationship. And I remember sitting there and just like, oh, what I really, 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 really need is, and the word a child popped into my head, and I was like, ah, a child, where did that come from? I wasn't thinking that. And then as soon as the seed was planted, the more I pondered on it, it was like, I think it's actually time. Yes, that makes sense. But it certainly was not initially something that I had thought about and planned for at that time. Right. So now, yeah. Of course, I'm so blessed. Excuse me, I have a hair. Hair there. So blessed to have my son, Alex, and he's now 25. And he did turn out to be such a special young kid, a special needs child that was beautifully gifted with some amazing talents. And he's actually gone on to do some beautiful artwork and had a passion for selling his artwork to raise money for Operation Smile. And he's already paid for four. He's on his fifth surgery, paying for his fifth surgery, and just dealing with some medical challenges. He's just coming out the other side of that. So,
right.
Well, you know, you're just a beautiful person.
I was just going to say, you never know what your experiences are going to lead you to, and how, you know, the things that we experience, how it's going to impact, you know, other people. I look at now, like with all the uncertainty in the world, you know, it's not just this time. If we look at, you know, all the different aspects of our life, we've always had some form of uncertainty, things that have been just crazy chaos, and there's different levels of it. I mean, different people feel things in different ways. But one of the things I'm just passionate about with, you know, supporting my clients is just to be empowered in a crisis, be empowered in uncertainty. And to really, this is where I'm using some of those tools from the street of, you know, how is it that you can be calm, cool, and collected in any circumstances, no matter what is thrown at you? Because that's one thing I learned in being in thousands of homes, is you never knew when you walked in the door what it was going to be. And you knew it was going to be bad, but you weren't sure exactly what it was going to be, but how you can react in those things. And you and I have talked a lot about reacting to things versus responding. And it's a very big difference of when you really take the totality of not only your life experience, but how you respond to things is so key now in the world, that if you don't have those skills, you know, it's important to brush up on them.
Yeah, it is. And certainly one of my key pieces in the book, Words, Women, and Wisdom book, is about not feeling that we have to respond immediately in every situation. Just because someone's asked the question, you know, nobody knows everything. So figure out, that's interesting. Let me ponder on that. Let me get back to you on that, because I want to make sure that I give you a thorough answer. I can tell this is something really important to you, because you don't have to answer right away in the moment. And it's powerful to realize that, yeah, you can actually take a pause. And if you have a glass of water, you know, take a sip of water and use that pause time to think. And I learned this trait when I actually had a female boss of mine early in my career who spoke very slowly and very deliberately. And it actually gave me the opportunity to think about my answers in my head as I was listening to her talking. What was I going to say? And still managed to stay very, very present and listening intently to what she was saying. And she taught me that. She also taught me that I should make sure that my pitch, if I wanted to show up as a confident female leader, that my pitch mattered, because hers was very, very high. And if you answered the phone in the evening, it sounded like it was a 7-year-old answering the phone. And it really didn't add to her credibility.
Right, right. No, it makes such a difference. You know, it's funny when you were talking about giving yourself that space and time. And I was just reflecting on, you know, when I was working, usually we didn't have, you know, the luxury of having time, that we had to make quick decisions. But, you know, whenever you can make space in a situation, it's so important. I know, like when we had like domestic violence cases, it's like, it's one of the reasons why we would have two officers show up so that we could, you know, split people up, not only to get their sides of the story, but also to give yourself that moment and that pause in a critical situation. So sometimes you have to move very quickly, but you can also use the tempo. You can use the space. You can separate. There's things that you can do to add more time in a critical situation. So it's important to know when you can do that and in what ways that, you know, when you do need to respond right away, that you kind of almost pre-think, like, how are you going to be in certain situations so that you know what you're going to draw upon?
Yeah, exactly. It's like preparing for a meeting and having your intention, you know, intention for the meeting laid out on the back of your business card before you go in. Obviously, in your case, a lot of that becomes an automatic reaction when you've been so thoroughly trained so that, it, you know, safety is maintained. And yet also understanding where you can put the pauses in the middle of the sentence. Sometimes a pause is better, take a breath, and then you can run one sentence into the next. So the person doesn't have a chance to jump in with anything that could be an objection of some sort, because they typically don't tend to interrupt in the middle of a sentence. Yeah. Interesting things that we've both experienced. So you have some human resource training. I spent 15 years in senior HR roles as well before getting into coaching. So we have a lot of parallels here. And yet each of us have such different experiences. Yours have been very violent experiences and having to react very quickly. Mine have been more intriguing and exciting on the entrepreneurial journey of being in the exhilaration space of startups. It's not life and death, though. I mean, somebody's going to make some money and somebody's not. Right. It's not quite the same thing. So
it can feel like
great respect
sometimes
for the work you do.
thank you so much. You know, it can feel like that. You know, I've talked to a lot of my, you know, entrepreneurial women where they'll feel like, you know, they can make powerful decisions, but sometimes they'll second guess themselves or they don't have the confidence to step forward in that. And it can feel like they're being judged or life and death. And so this is where some of those tools about taking a deep breath, you know, watch your environment, you know, really respond more thoughtfully can really come into play, because it can feel very agitating. Even though you can create more time, sometimes it doesn't feel like you have it.
Yeah. And I also learned early on that if I had a role that was customer service oriented when I was very, like, in my early teens, and if I was wanting to diffuse their anger, if I asked them a question, that the blood could only go in one direction at a time. And so when everything is rushing to the prefrontal cortex, they had to stop in order to be able to answer my question. And that would naturally tend to diffuse the situation a little bit, because they weren't in their anger state. They were thinking about responding to my question. And you probably have tons more training around that in your police work than I ever did.
Right. It's a great tool. Yeah. Anything that helps people calm down and have like some clarity and give some thought to a charged situation, everyone's going to win.
Yeah. And it's interesting that it took a major bicycle accident to have that sort of universal tap on the head saying you would actually be more aligned with your purpose if you were doing something completely different. And so interesting in these days, where certainly in Calgary, there's been, where I'm based, there's been over the past 4 years, about 160,000 jobs lost. And then COVID came along. That was before COVID came along.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people that are out of work. And having worked in a senior HR organization, a talent management global firm, and worked in career transition, I also know that invariably what happened was I'd see someone the day that they got their notice that their services were no longer required. And then I'd see them 3 months later when they had perked right up because they were now being offered this amazing job that was so much better than the one before. And yet I think we don't very often get that opportunity presented in that way where we get the pause and we really get a chance to wake up and see what's actually happening in our lives. And people have been given the opportunity to do that with COVID, to take a step back from their regular routines and start reflecting on, wow, what's really important in life? You know, I actually right. like being at home quite a bit, for example. Right.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when people are in their comfort zone, the last thing they're thinking of is shaking the tree and you know, making anything, you know, shift from what they're doing. But, you know, I think if you've got the perspective that, you know, things aren't happening to you, but they're happening for you, like we've heard this, but when you're in it, it doesn't feel like that. You're like, that's just rubbish. Like, what's happening here? But if you give yourself a little bit of space and time, I think in any situation that has, it felt like it's taken you out or it feels like a negative, you give it enough space and time, you will be able to see what the blessing is in that. And it's like, thank God it happened that way, because typically we don't come, you know, walk out peacefully to a situation that is maybe not our best situation, but it's okay. Right. And so we typically don't jump off the train when things are okay. But when we look back, we can see how things are actually unfolding for us and things are better for it. So I think if you just always look at it from that perspective, I know if you look at it from that perspective, then you can see the blessing in it.
Yeah. And if you have enough of those experiences that develop your resilience, then you can very quickly step aside, sort of out of the track of the train and say, this is interesting. What's happening? I wonder right. why it's occurring. And there must be something even better coming down the path for me. When one door closes, another one opens. And as long as you can stay present to that potential and in that space of opportunity, that energy of positivity makes a massive difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So good.
So I've talked a little bit about your past. I'm curious to learn more now about where you're going, what you're up to today. So tell me a little bit more about your current work and what's so exciting for you about it.
Oh, thanks, Yvonne. Well, as you know, I have my podcast, the Live Your Spa Life Show, and you were one of my lovely guests. And, you know, definitely that is a call to action for women to stand in their power. You know, there are so many times we look at power as something that happens outside of ourselves. I'm really passionate about, you know, women claiming that the power that they have is within themselves, that everything they need to know is within them. Part of having mentors is to help you unlock that, to realize that, to make that happen. So I'm doing a lot of, I used to, it's funny when you were reading some of the, my accomplishments and things I've been up to, I still travel a lot around the world, but I'm doing a lot more Zoom training. And that's been an interesting fun thing to realize that you can still have that impact and not always be in person. Although I am still doing some one-on-one work with some of my clients to really help them move through some challenging situations and to not second guess themselves. So I'm really excited about that, to see the light in someone's eye where they were really feeling dejected and things maybe weren't working with their teams or their personal life, to actually kind of connect the dots and see how they can actually find the resilience within themselves to have the grit to actually move through something is so inspiring to me. And I love and feel blessed to be the support person for people to really, you know, be that person that they call when they need that consultant and helping to move through things. So that's pretty much what I'm focusing on now. I am going to look in the fall because of everything that's been happening right now. I am creating my Calm, Cool, and Collected program, 6 weeks to feeling empowered in a crisis, because I think it's so important for people to build those skills. And sometimes people beat themselves up for not innately having those, but they can be trained. And I think it's important to have that. So that's on the horizon for people to look out for in the future.
Calm, cool, and collected. Love that. I mean, words, women, and wisdom, you know, I love all of those
alliterations,
descriptions, alliterations that that really are impactful. So love the title. So you talked a little bit earlier about working with women who are in overwhelm. Can you share a little bit about some of the signs? I mean, I know some of them from my own experience. I burned out about 5 years ago. And it was chasing the wrong type of clients and chasing the big contracts versus working with individuals that really nourish my soul and having having realized what was happening. I know a few of them, but I'm interested to hear if you have some different ones.
Right. Well, you know, when it comes to overwhelm, a lot of it, I think when people are starting to feel overwhelmed, it's because they're disconnected to themselves about what they're doing. That, you know, it's almost like if you kind of, something will happen where you're stopping what's happening in life. It's almost like you're stepping up and peeking over and kind of looking around for a while because you've been in the chaos of life. And you realize that you're not on the path that you want to be on. You're maybe not doing your highest work or working with the clients that really resonate with you. Maybe you've not been spending time with your children. Maybe things are happening in your relationship. Things that are exploding in the world, you know, there tends to be a reflection of what are things happening within us as humanity that aren't working. You have people who are more exhausted than ever, you know, not getting the sleep, not getting restful sleep, not getting out in nature. I mean, one of the things about people being locked away in their home, that's not improving health. So not having good health can also lead to your overwhelm. You can still, you know, be social distancing and get outside, you know, take those masks off and take a deep breath of air and do the things innately that you know what actually improves your life. I absolutely believe that overwhelm comes from being out of alignment and not being on your path. It's actually an indicator of things that aren't working for you. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, you can do those immediate things like take a deep breath, you know, look around, take, you know, an inventory on your life, and you will actually be able to start seeing the things that are out of alignment, and you can start unraveling those things that are causing that overwhelm for you.
Right. So how do people, how do women find you if they're in that space? Very often they're not going looking for additional information because they're on overload period. So how do they find you?
Definitely. Well, you can go to my website, dianehalfman.com. That's D-I-A-N-E, Halfman, H-A-L-F-M-A-N.com. And you can also, any social media, Instagram, Facebook, also, you know, under my name. And then also my podcast, because I interview inspiring women that help you go from places of being empowered and into your power. So that can really help you. But one of the things I think that is really helpful is, you know, life can feel like it's draining you. Maybe you're in overwhelm right now. You know, things are feeling like the world is not a world that we know. And so having resources that really help. So I actually created 5 moves to reset your power, because I say reset because you have it within you. Life has just thrown you off track. So you want to reset where you're at. So you can go to resetyourpowergift.com and just follow some simple strategies there where you can get yourself out of emergency mode, because people are in that adrenaline emergency way too often. And you can step into emerging, you know, get back on track and do the things that you are really here to be. And when it comes down to it, we just have to remember who you are and why you're here. And in that, you can rest and come from a place of clarity to really step forward in the world.
So resetyourpowergift.com. And yes, that's a free gift. Well, thank you for offering to extend that gift to our female listeners. That's really valuable. Thank you so much.
And certainly
all of the experiences that you've gone through really have been culminating in this moment, in being able to support other women to step into their best version of themselves, step into that new level of confidence. And yet you're coming at it from such a different perspective. I don't know anybody else that's doing the kind of work that you're doing in that way, bringing that experience to the table. So thank you for showing up and showing all of your beautiful self. You're a beautiful woman. And I have no doubt that when you were working undercover, that you would have been a very enticing target for those Johns. And I say that laughingly with, you know, my tongue in my cheek, because both my ex-husband and my current husband are both called John.
Oh, that's so funny. Yes, lots of things in that step. And, you know, and one more thing I was thinking about as far as, like, you know, the overwhelm, one of my favorite quotes, and I think this is a good thing to end with, is that, you know, by Clement Watt, he says, take the first step, no more, no less, and the next step will be revealed.
Right.
That is such an important thing. I use that every day in my life, because sometimes we're looking 3-4 steps down the road. That's where the overwhelm lives, is down there. You know, right here in the present moment, taking just one step is how you can kind of keep your head above the water and thrive.
Yeah. Well, as we said before, there is no fear in the present moment. If you start imagining all the things that could be the way down the path, then that's where very often overwhelm comes. So thank you for sharing your wisdom today. And I appreciate you joining me on the show. And last question, you've done a lot in the past to be supporting women in getting out of unfortunate situations. You've already been giving back to the community in your past job anyway, as someone in the service. Is there anything in particular that you're doing today that is also more like a social entrepreneur gift for humanity? Is there anything we want to mention there?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. You know, one of the things that I am passionate about, and I'm sure that it comes out of me working the undercover work and, you know, not only focusing on the Johns, but also the young prostitutes and their circumstances of where they're at. So I've connected with the Underground Railroad of the sex trafficking. In fact, I just recently had a woman who had been trafficked for 20 years and has overcome that. And so really helping in those type of realms where you can help women overcome just incredible circumstances and helping children. I think that a lot of times people think of sex trafficking as something that happens in another country, that a third world country, but it's so prevalent. And I think it's in very important work to help people get out of that type of modern day slavery and to recover from that in a deep way. So really going to the undercover railroad situations and really looking at those are such a powerful way of doing that. In fact, I think it's under OUR as an hour the Underground Railroad. It really helps the children in who've been enslaved through sexual slavery. And it's an important work for people to do.
It is massively important. And thank you for dedicating some time towards that. I'm a member of a couple of other women's groups, which we had a presentation that was learning about, you know, how that goes on so readily, even in Canada, in Calgary, in our city, and you know what to look out for and how we can actually help some of those women. So powerful work. Thank you again for joining me, Diane, and I'm sure that this will be an intriguing interview that many of our listeners will want to replay more than once. So this show is on BBS Radio and you can catch the replay. It's at the bottom of the Women and Wisdom show page under archives. It's also available on iTunes, iHeart, and on the new Podopolo platform as well. So thank you for joining me and have a beautiful day.
Bye, thanks.
Bye for now.
Hi, everybody. Yvonne Silva back again with a couple of invitations. If you are working on your communications and you'd like to elevate your success and your business relationships by up to 300%, I'm extending an invitation to you to take a personality test. This is a scientific proven test that can elevate your language and your relationships, deepen your relationships, which of course is the essence of business and having collaborative conversations, particularly around sales. So to take the test, you can send in a code to this number, 403-668-9279, and text the word CODE, C-O-D-E. Again, that number is 403-669-9279, and text the word CODE. And you'll receive an invitation to take the personality test. It takes literally 90 seconds to have the opportunity to find out what your preferred communication style is and also three other primary codes. Also, I'm inviting you to learn more about a new program that I just got certified in, which is called the Bank iOS 6 Intelligences Program. So there's going to be three masterclasses coming up in August, four weekly masterclasses coming up in August. And these are the dates, August 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th. They'll actually be introducing you to the six bank intelligences. and how they will help you show up powerfully in your life and in business. So we're going to look at personality intelligence, which is about identifying people's personality and values so you can meet them where they are and create faster connections that create influence, greater influence. Looking at sales intelligence and applying that same personality science through the report you'll be receiving to the sales process to get more yeses and fewer no's. Also looking at emotional intelligence, the third intelligence out of the six, how to regulate your own emotions and have more empathy for others to mitigate conflict and enrich your life. Also artificial intelligence, which is about analyzing your communication with artificial intelligence tools and predicting buying behavior in seconds. And the last two are business intelligence, which is about tracking the most important data in your business so that you can save time and make better marketing and business decisions from that data. And the last one is spiritual intelligence. So this is about having a conscious leadership style, clearly defining the purpose for your life and business and applying it in every interaction so that you're following your divine calling. So I'm inviting you to attend the four masterclasses, and there's going to be a ton of learning. They start August 6th and go every Thursday evening for 4 weeks, August 13th, 20th, and 27th. And there'll also be an opportunity to include experiencing one of three tools at a 30-day period at no cost. So Bank Pass is really a tool that helps with lead generation. Codebreaker AI is the proprietary artificial intelligence that analyzes any copy. And I can tell you a little bit more about a cool LinkedIn extension that's coming up. Allows you to speak in the person's preferred communication style right away. And in Bank Vault, which is 50 hours of virtual training, including how to network more effectively, powerful sales skills, there's real estate specific strategies, there's coin about influence marketing and training for network marketing people in particular as well. So this is all about having virtual video tools at your fingertips to help you have more success in business. I'm going to include a couple of links to these invitations. So the masterclasses with Bank iOS 6 Intelligences is going to be on Eventbrite, and that's already listed if you search up my name and Eventbrite for Bank 6 Intelligences. And then also the invitation to take the personality test now simply by dialing or texting rather to 403-668-9279 and text the word code. So that's my additional information and gifts for today. Thank you to my earlier guest, and I look forward to engaging with you and having more powerful communications starting right away.